Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor. Boy, we got a lot of different areas to get into with Al Smith, former NFL player, works with the Tennessee Titans, has a book coming out, Think Like a Pro, Act Like a Pro. But there's so many different things I want to get into. But the first thing I want to go into, of course, I mean, you went to Utah State, had 10 years with the Houston Oilers and then Tennessee Titans before they made that move. But how comparable were you as a player? Because when I envision you and go back to the days of covering you as a player, you remind me so much of another Utah State guy, Bobby Wagner. How comparable are the two guys that went to Utah State as far as their style of play?
Well, I would say pretty much we pretty much have the same kind of style of play. It seems like Bobby is, obviously an athletic player, tough player, did great things at Utah State, doing great things in the league now. But one thing that I noticed about Bobby that's kind of sees some similarities between the two is just basically just a demeanor off the field. You know, he's not a guy that you hear about, you know, in trouble or getting into things. He's a high character guy, solid guy. That's one thing. One of the things that I have prided myself on, even back then in college, as far as making sure that area of my life was right. Because at the time, you hope to have an opportunity to play in the NFL, but you don't know for sure if it happened. And a lot of other things have to fall in place for those type of things to happen. So when you have those type of things in place, then you are going to be successful whether the football situation works out or not. But I see a lot of similarities there in that on and off the field with Bobby.
Yeah, on the field, the thing that I remember so much about you, and it really compares so much to Bobby, is that the speed that you had. And, of course, you did it in an age when a lot of the linebackers were supposed to be bigger, you know, the 260-pound guys, you know, being some 3-4s and all that different stuff. But, I mean, you were there with so much speed and were really able to take advantage of it, very much like Bobby Wagner was able to do.
Well, that's one thing that I kind of prided myself on, you know, to be able to be, strong enough to be able to, you know, handle the big guys inside, but fast enough to be able to run on the outside. But when I got it to the pros, I mean, I had multiple coaches as far as the defensive coordinators. I started with the head coach, Jerry Glanville, was a great defensive guy at that time. So, you know, he wanted linebackers that can run, that can cover, not just play to run, but you can play to pass, go man to man. Had Buddy Ryan. Greg Williams was a GA at that time, linebacker coach, you know, back then. You know, all these guys that are big now. And the thing about it, John, when I look at some of the guys I had on the staff when I was in college, you know, I had Brian Billick. I had Terry Shea at the time. He was the offensive coordinator. Rod Marinelli was the defensive coordinator with the Cowboys, former head coach. We had, Donnie Henderson was a longtime coordinator and defensive back coach in the league. We had a lot of guys that had coaches that had come through Utah State. You know, Bruce Snyder was a head coach, you know, college for many, many years, Arizona State and what have you. So I was fortunate enough to have a lot of different coaches and learn a lot of different styles of play, whether it be 3-4, 4-3. Right now, guys, you know, can do one thing or maybe do another. But when you are able to do multiple things and give yourself multiple avenues to be successful, to be on the field, to be in different systems, because coaches may change along the way, but your game doesn't necessarily have to change.
One thing I think that needs to change is maybe more respect for schools that aren't like in the Big Five. Like, for example, Seattle takes a lot of criticism. And, of course, you've been in scouting and you know this stuff, too, is that, you know, it seems like, oh, yeah, well, Utah State, we're, you know, a little bit that kind of like we're seeing with North Dakota State and all that with Carson Wentz and others. And yet, you know, Seattle, you know, embraces, just like a lot of teams do, the idea is like, OK, Bobby Wagner and the competition around may not be equal to what the Big Five schools are, but if you get a great player, you get a great player, just like you were a great player, as was Bobby Wagner, and look at the success that the teams have in drafting guys like yourself and Bobby, even though, again, it wasn't like a Big Five school.
Well, one thing about that, I mean, everybody can't go to a Big Five or SEC school. I mean, it's only so many schools in the country. Everybody can't go to the same ones. So in that regard, my whole idea was obviously first and foremost, to be able to get my education paid for, and within that, being able to play the game that we all love, the game of football, but at the same time, go somewhere where you're able to show your talents. You know, if you go to, I could have went to maybe a USC or some of these other schools, it may not have played until my senior year or what have you, and no one would have really have known me anyway. You just kind of get lost in the shuffle with a lot of great other athletes. But I always have come from the school of if you're able to play, you're able to get seen. If you're able to get seen, you can show your talents. If you're able to show your talents, your talents, a good evaluator would be able to see your talents, because even though your conference may be not, you know, the top, you know, top five schools or the top 10 type schools, but you end up playing those on your schedule, whether it be two or three of those teams a year, and if you excel against those teams within the other games, then you really get noticed. And that's what I always have big games against, whether it be the USC's or at the time, the Big Eight, whether it be Kansas or Oklahoma, you know, those type of teams had good games against those type of teams. Then that shows that, oh, well, this guy can play against the best of them. And you always try to put yourself in that position.
One of the great parts of covering you is that as a player is that you kind of get the sense, you know, with the way the mind works and how smart you were, that you can make the conversion into coaching. You can make the conversion into the front office like you did. Don't you wish there was more players that are able to make that adjustment? Because you look at some of the great success stories like Ozzie Newsome, John Elway, so many others. I just wish there was more opportunities. Do you wish there was more opportunities for guys to get into front office type roles?
Yeah, I wish there were more opportunities. I mean, you know, obviously, when you only have 32 teams, 32 jobs, you know, they come at a premium. But just having that opportunity, because, you know, some people don't look at players as being able to transcend from the field to the front office, because if you always have been known as just a player or just a quarterback or just a linebacker or whatever the case may be, and that is the perception. And in most people's mind, their perception is obviously their reality. And if that's their reality and they're doing the hiring, you're not going to get that opportunity. So just trying to be able to be in front of individuals so they can see you outside of the uniform, to see that you can articulate, see that you can work with others, to see that your team players, to see that you're able to put that same work ethic that you put on the field off the field as well, and that's one thing about a lot of former players. Now, every former player can be a coach, every former player won't be a great coach, but there are some out there, just like any other job. Once you weed through that and go through that evaluation process, and you see that guys, if they're passionate about it and put their expertise, and if they were a student of the game when they played, it helps in that transition, because of the fact that it's more to coaching than just X's and O's. It's connecting with people, working with different individuals, different backgrounds, different learning styles, attitudes, different generational gaps. There's a lot of other things other than just being on the board.
Take us through your transition from a player to eventually becoming involved in the front office and being very involved.
Well, my transition from a player, I always looked at it when I was playing, that I was always a coach on the field. I mean, I always had to call the plays. We had it tougher than a lot of kids today because of the fact that coaches like Buddy Ryan, they put a lot on the middle linebacker, whether it be, you know, Mike Singletary, Byron Evans in Philadelphia, or myself in Houston when Buddy Ryan came. Well, the middle linebackers make the calls for everybody. So you don't make the call until they come out the huddle. So, you know, it's not the traditional coach sends in a play and you just call that play regardless. Well, he was sending my options for a play, and then but that option didn't come to fruition until they came out of the huddle. So you had whatever amount of seconds from the time they broke the huddle to get on the line of scrimmage to dissect everything and to get other guys the information to call the play. So you don't have a lot of time to stumble, not know what to do, because you got 10 other men looking to you to give them the direction to help the team to become successful. So when you have to go through that process week in and week out, be the coach on the field, put guys in the right position, whether a D lineman is in the right gap or what have you, a lot of times when, you know, the natural viewer is watching a game, they don't see the different shades or the different techniques or who's in the wrong gap or who dropped the wrong way or somebody did the wrong coverage, because they may not be able to pick it up. But a lot of times all it takes is one guy to make a mistake, and then it'll cost your team a touchdown. So you try to be on point with all those type of things, and it takes extra study as you would as a coach to do those type of things, to be ready to be able to give that information to your teammates. So going through that process as a coach when I was a player, it transitioned into the front office, whether it be in scouting or player development or one of those other areas that gave me kind of a leg up because of the fact that the team knew what I went through. I went through the gauntlet, so to speak, and had the background, the character, the knowledge, and all those type of things that they felt comfortable enough to put me in those roles.
Well, the one thing that was so fortunate for you is that you really didn't have to do too much moving because, again, you know, staying with the same organization so much, I mean, that had to be a good thing because, again, it allowed you to develop in so many different ways. One, as a front office exec. Two, to be so involved in the community because, you know, going from Houston to Nashville and you became such a big type person in so many different ventures, both at Vanderbilt and on the board of directors for the American Cancer Society, all those different things with the NFL Alumni Association.
Yeah, it definitely helped being in the same place. Obviously, when the team moved from Houston to Tennessee, you had to kind of reinvent yourself because, quote-unquote, I didn't necessarily play in Tennessee. I worked with the front office in Tennessee, so my playing days were in Houston, and all of a sudden now Houston has a new team that they're trying to identify with. So they may know you as a Houston Oiler, but, well, you didn't play as a Titan, so you're kind of in no man's land. So we had this group of players that were kind of in this limbo, whether it be the Earl Campbells or the Dan Pastorinis of the world or the Mike Renfros of the world or the Robert Brazils of the world who just recently got into the Hall of Fame. Those type of players for a while there were kind of in limbo because, you know, you weren't really the family of the Texans and, you know, the Titans didn't really resonate with you because of the fact that Tennessee only knew the players that came to Tennessee. So trying to bridge that gap together and being able to build that up and having conversations with ownership about those type of things. And just recently they started having Oiler reunions and things like that to try to keep that the Oiler blue, so to speak, alive, because those players, whether it be the Warren Moons and everyone else, Kenny Burrows and Kenny Houston, all those great players that have played, to keep their legends alive because of the fact that they have had great contributions to the game, but they don't have that all Derek that is continued to be played every weekend on somebody's helmet.
I love the fact that out of all those experiences, I mean, you were able to put together a book, Think Like a Pro, Act Like a Pro, but it looks like the way that you did it was kind of like the middle linebacker making sure that all the other 10 players on defense had the right checks and all the right, because you broke things down in 17 different lessons that you can go from amateurs to pros in all aspects of life. So tell us what you did in kind of putting together Think Like a Pro, Act Like a Pro.
Well, I kind of just, you know, first and foremost, the book was kind of brought on with, you know, the teachings that I learned. It started at home, you know, with my parents. My mother was instrumental in a lot of my early character development, and it really helped go along the way, whether it be high school, college, and pro. And it gave me the idea of being able to give back, to others, not just athletes, but people in general, because the principles that I talk about in the book aren't just for athletes. This transcends the business and sports. You know, that's why, I had game-winning strategies to achieve results, discipline, and success in life and business. So for business people, or whether it be sports, you know, obviously because my background is in that as well, but at the same time having that the business acumen as well, because when it comes to character, when you hire people, whether it be on your production or in a business, it goes back to character. Every time you talk about the draft, I'm sure character guys, bad character came out in a lot of these individuals, and you have to decide whether you want to invest in somebody that has a questionable character, or do you want to go with somebody that you know you know what their character is. And one thing about character, it's hard to teach somebody. If you're hiring somebody, it's hard to teach them character. You can teach them what to do. You can teach them how you want things to be run, but you don't have the time to teach somebody how to be a good person or how to be a good character when you're hiring somebody. So those type of characteristics need to be grounded, rooted, and be able to carry on into whatever field that you're working with, and teamwork and focus and discipline. All those type of things are qualities, not just in sports, but in business and leadership and attitude, all those type of things with a lot of kids today that need to continue to be instilled in them for them to be successful. Because whether it be in sports or what have you, you have to reinvent yourself or you're going to have to have something else to lean on other than just your sports background just to make it. So the book was just basically a personal development book, and give everybody the opportunity to learn these different strategies that they can take in any walk of life. It's not, it's female, male. It's not just athlete. It could be, high school, college, or what have you. And it's, done well and does some great things with the book. And got a lot of good response from it. And, a lot of schools and businesses have requested it, and just wanted to, continue to, keep it out there. And as you see, John, I think you see the book, had a little bit of background with the sports background, because you can't get away from that, because everybody wants to talk about sports a little bit. So you kind of have that in the background, but at the same time, it's not a sports book.
Think Like a Pro, Act Like a Pro is available in Columbia State Barnes & Noble's bookstores. Give us one lesson. Let's say, for example, you have a player in college or so, or maybe at the beginning of his pro career, that's had some trouble off the field. What would be one of the 17 lessons you would have for them?
For someone who had trouble off the field?
Off the field, yeah. Trying to make, integrate and make sure that he kind of changes things around and get things right.
Well, one thing that I always focus with any kid is that the focus on the character. Because one thing about the character, your character is kind of like your reputation is like a shadow. Your reputation follows you all the way around. The shadow on the ground, off a tree, or whatever the case may be, that shadow is always on the ground. That'll follow you wherever that tree moves. That shadow will follow. And your character is the tree. That's where you're rooted at. And if you're not rooted in something solid, something positive, something that's that people can relate to, that people gravitate to, then that tree ends up dying over time. And when you have someone that struggles in that area, it's gonna make them hard, because that's the essence of a person, is your character. That's who that person is. That's who you're saying you are. Every time you meet somebody, that character come out. So if someone is struggling in a lot of areas, you go back to the root. Go back to the root of the tree and try to build that tree back up and build that root back up, because if you just do something superficial, they're always going to revert back to their old ways, because that's all they knew. Until they renew that and renew their mind and renew their mindset, it gives them the opportunity to be able to change their whole persona and reinvent themselves. Because just because you were at a place, that don't mean that you have to stay at that place. Because you can go forward and change those type of things.
Count a couple quick ones here. Luke Falk ends up going to Tennessee. Good player. How do you think he will fit in over time?
Yeah, well, anytime, going to Tennessee, when you have a quarterback that is coming in, you have a guy that's established, Marcus Mariota. Obviously, he has time to grow and learn. One thing about quarterbacks, you never know how they respond until they get on the field. And when they get fresher, everybody looks good in shorts. Everybody looks good on 7-on-7. All quarterbacks look good against air. But once they get knocked down, once they get blindsided, once they get that rush coming after them, that's when you find out the truth, the true essence of that player. And with the one thing that he would have by coming in, have a solid offensive line. They have some weapons now that not only help Mariota, but would help him as well. And it gives him some time to be able to adjust and to adapt, because he doesn't have to come in and be a savior, right off the bat. And anytime you have that, it's good for a young quarterback, because he can learn, get his feet underneath him, build his confidence, and be able to learn behind him. Not only a good quarterback, but a good solid character guy in Marcus Mariota that can help lead him on the path to success.
Yeah, it's almost funny because you talk about Marcus Mariota. It's almost like he read your book before the book was written, because, again, he thinks like a pro and he acts like a pro. He's pretty good. And, again, the book's available at Columbia State, Barnes & Noble bookstores. And where else can people be able to get the book?
Well, people can get the book at on the website, www.alsmithallpro.com, www.alsmithallpro.com, or just on Amazon and put in Amazon.com and put Think Like a Pro, Act Like a Pro, and some Barnes & Noble here in Tennessee, and they can go to the website and grab it at any time.
Well, of course, you have more than 25 years of being that all-pro, and thank you for joining us on Schooled with the Professor.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate you guys having me on.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with the Professor.